music and madness collides, what do you get? You get the 90s. Although, before the 90s, you got this really small band who was right in the thick of the Seattle scene, but they weren't from Seattle. This band has been over-analyzed, over-scrutinized, spoken at length, ad nauseum, biographers, analysts have all overanalyzed the brilliance that was this band, because they always try to figure out what was in the water. Well, they're for one, they were not from Seattle. They were from Aberdeen, Washington. They made their way to Seattle because that's where the Seattle scene was. There were other bands within the mix. And, you know, they had a name that, you know, was the highest, you know, form of consciousness that we all strive for, and that's Nirvana. And, you know, as I was explaining, there was a student in front of me today, and she had a Nirvana shirt on. I said, I do listen to them. Yes. So you know who they are. Yes. And they were studying Buddhism and Confucianism. And I said, hey, Nirvana right there. And I said, well, you know, today, the lead singer, he would have been 57. What? I said, yeah. I said, he has been dead longer than he was alive. He was alive for 27 years and has been dead for 30 years. He would have been 57 years old. And to read that Frances Bean Cobain, his only daughter, only child, who is the spitting image of him, has said that now she has come to understand as she gets older, her father, because it always broke her heart that, you know, he died when she was so young. And her memories of him are very, very, you know, she says it's hard for her to sketch memories of her father, and that her grandmother and her aunt will fill in, and friends will fill in, you know, the blanks of this really brilliant artist, this very troubled artist. Oh my goodness. You know, I think that's also why he's so overanalyzed, is because here he was, this very brilliant, very, very sensitive musician, you know, by the standards of his friend Kathleen Hanna, and we'll get to that. He was a male feminist, you know, and had so many, you know, different issues. And, you know, of course, there's the heroin addiction. You know, everyone has their vices. He had his vices. And yet, what did he have? This very powerful, visceral juggernaut of a voice, and his musicianship, you know, just what he wanted to do. You know, he took this three piece and then, you know, they went through so many drummers, and then they, you know, Dave Grohl came into the fold, and, you know, you got to give it to Dave Grohl, because here he is under the tutelage of this very, and even, you know, to hear Dave talk about right after Kurt died, he had a problem listening to music. He tried to escape music. He just didn't want to have anything to do with music. That's when someone's heart is truly broken. And I think it helped him with the loss of Taylor Hawkins. So, but back to Cobain, Kurt Cobain. You know, I mean, even the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, Cobain, can you hear the spheres from station to station? I mean, come on. They're putting him in a song, Californication, okay? You know, when you first listen to Nirvana, and you start off with Bleach, you know, and won't you believe it, it's just my love, and the way his voice would just, and he's just doing it. And he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. You know, I think with Nevermind, because Nevermind got so huge, and, you know, the credit of Butch Vig really just getting them to hunker down and put these songs out, you know, and I think, you know, there's this mythology, and we talk about mythologies, and I talked about it with Apocalypse Now. With Kurt Cobain, did he really want to be the biggest band in the world? Maybe. Maybe not, because, you know, as the band grew, they said, okay, well, then we're not going to do what we did on In Utero. It's just going to be a punk record. And it kind of threw people off, you know, because it wasn't Nevermind too. It's like, and I'll give you an example. I know you're probably thinking, whoa, that's a really broad example. When Janet Jackson did Control, and she even said the record company wanted her to do a Control too. And she's like, I'm not doing that. And what did she do? She did Rhythm Nation. And so the same with Nirvana. You've got Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl, Chris Novoselic. And then it's like, okay, we got to do a follow-up to... And Nevermind. They always knew you can't do a follow-up to Nevermind. We could do something else, which they did, you know. What Nevermind really did is... It basically let everyone know at that point in time who this band was. They were not from Seattle, by the way. And I think we have to keep drilling that into people's consciousness. Because I actually had a friend in college who grew up in Aberdeen. And she said, we all knew he was not from Seattle. They were from Aberdeen, which was this logging town of upstate, you know. I'm so tired. This logging town in Washington. Okay. You know, if they were from Oregon, it would be a different story, but they were from Aberdeen. And when you go into Aberdeen, it says home of Kurt Cobain. Okay. So, I mean, and the songs, you know, the songs have been so overanalyzed. You know, you always ask people, what's your favorite Nirvana song? Is it In Bloom? Is it Lithium? Is it Smells Like Teen Spirit? Is it Something in the Way? Is it On a Plane? Is it Breed? I think the whole album, you know, because the whole album, you know, start to finish. I mean, Billy Joe of Green Day once said in an interview, Nevermind was the one album you didn't skip because you listened to each of the songs became a standard within rock radio. That's a testament right there. And Kurt's voice and the lyrics and the fact that they were so simplistic, these songs, and yet they had so many messages in them, you know, come as you are, come as you were, as I want you to be. And yes, and also the depression and loneliness and everything that he dealt with, and they're in those songs. Now, one of the most famous songs, okay? Most famous songs we know was inspired by someone. So Kurt had this really cool friend. And she herself was in a band. And she was in a band. And in fact, she's in a documentary called The Punk Singer. And her and Kurt would just hang out. And they were both feminists, you know. And the singer's name is Kathleen Hanna of Bikini Kill. And Kathleen talks about lovingly when Kurt came up, she came up with what would become one of the most famous songs of the 90s.
And he watched out while I went across the street and wrote, fake abortion clinic, everyone. So that was kind of like a pragmatic one or whatever. And he was more creative, so he went over and in 6 foot tall red letters, he wrote, God is gay. Yeah. It was kind of cool like that. So after that, we polished off the Canadian Club, and we lived in Olympia, Washington. We walked down the hill, we went to the bar, we got some more Canadian Club. Insulted just about everybody in my whole entire town, and I threw up on someone's legs, and it was one of those nights that, like, later on, every time anybody mentions it, you don't want to think about it. So ended up at Kurt's apartment, and I smashed up a bunch of shit, and I took out a Sharpie marker, and I wrote a bunch of shit all over his bedroom wall, and it was a rental, so it was, like, really kind of lame that I did that. And then I passed out with the marker in my hand. And I woke up, and I had one of those hangovers where you think that if you walk in the next room, there could be a dead body in there. So I wasn't that happy when 6 months later, Kurt called me up and said, "Hey, do you remember that night?" And I was like, because even though I fall asleep with my clothes on, every time in my head when I thought about that night, this is what I saw. Yeah, it's not pretty, is it? So then Kurt's like, "Well, there's this thing that you wrote on my wall, and it was actually kind of cool, and I want to use it as a lyric in one of my songs." And I was like, "As long as I can get out of this conversation and not think about anymore, I'm totally cool. So you can use whatever you want." And then I hung up, and I was like, "How the fuck is he gonna use Kurt Smells Like Teen Spirit?"
So that's Kathleen Hanna talking about her good friend, Kurt Cobain. Now, I love when he would describe what success, Nirvana mania, you know. Here he is talking about Smells Like Teen Spirit.
I want to go through some your memories from the videos that you've made from shooting them. And actually, the only thing that I've heard in an interview say anything that any kind of disappointment about any of them was Smells Like Teen Spirit. That not turn out to be exactly what you thought about
it. Yeah. I mean, although it worked, I mean, I liked the video overall, but it wasn't what I pictured in my mind. When I come up with an idea for a video, I want it to be translated exactly how I see it in my mind, and it just wasn't that way. I mean, we didn't take enough time, we didn't prepare ourselves enough to have as much control as we wanted to, you know? And
And so, yeah, that's, you know, he wasn't happy with it, and oh my God. I mean, it's always funny when you come across people wearing those Nirvana shirts. So for Frances Bean Cobain to say her father is inescapable, you know, she was not a Nirvana fan. That's what she claims. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Okay. She's a musician herself. I get it. But to have grown up with those songs, you know, like In Bloom, It Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I knew people who saw Alice in Chains in the 90s and preferred them over Nirvana, you know, but they all kind of complimented one another. So, you know, talking about this musician who died so young, you know, the Saturn Return. There's a really great documentary about his friendship with drummer Patti Schemmel of Hole. She was almost in Nirvana because there was kind of like, you know, do they want Dave Grohl? Do they want Patti Schemmel? He was really good friends with Patti Schemmel. And for her to talk about her friendship with Cobain, and also there's mentioned the Saturn Return, which, you know, he didn't escape. He died at 27. You know, before you turn 30, your Saturn return, and it's going to teach you all these lessons before you hit this thing called 30. Or some people, when you hit 40, I mean, geez, it's like all these things that you have to go through And he didn't make it. He didn't make it. And, you know, and then there's that horrible group, the 27 Club, and Amy Winehouse is a part of it. And it's like, yeah, and Janis Joplin and, you know, but it, at the heart of the matter is, you know, there's this musician who is inescapable. He is inescapable to his own daughter, to people who, you know, I mean, that artwork, you know, when you see a Nirvana shirt, it's like, oh, geez, it is, it's like a Ramones shirt. Now, some people wear Beatles shirts, and yeah, I get it. But those Nirvana shirts, I mean, and everyone wears them. Everyone from all walks of life, all genders, all fluidity, all races, all socioeconomic. I've seen everyone who's anyone wear a Nirvana shirt. And here I was in a classroom talking about the state of Nirvana when I saw that shirt. And I said, now you know they got the name of that. And here we're about to read about Buddhism and Confucianism. And they're like, oh my goodness. They're like, that sounds so hard to learn. I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. And they said, what is the state of Nirvana? I said, well, here's what it is. One day you're all going to have your families and you're going to have your connections. And you're going to realize that everything that you've accumulated throughout the years and all your material possessions don't matter. They don't fucking matter. I didn't say it like that because I'd get in big trouble. But I said, they don't matter, okay? Have you reached Nirvana yet? And I said, well, I've been getting rid of a lot of stuff. So, because I don't want, what is it that we want? Versus, and I said, our connections. What do you mean connections? Our loved ones. People that we're with. You know, our friends, our connections. Our connections are much more than stuff. I said, if I didn't need a car, I would get rid of the freaking car. But I can't. I have to have a car, okay? You know, all these material possessions that we have. So one day I'll get rid of the phone. Why? I don't know. It's like when it served its purpose, you know? And so then they were like, is that why he chose the name Nirvana? Probably. I wasn't in his head. I don't think anyone was. It probably sounded good. But, you know, to name your band Nirvana, and they almost got sued for that, by the way, because there was another band named Nirvana. I mean, we could dive in.
I'm kind of finding humor in the fact that each episode, when I'm about to move on to the next subject, the podcast just stops. So that's the microphone, and because I think it's too close to my mouth. And so why did Cobain name, okay, his band Nirvana? Okay, here we go. In Buddhism, Nirvana signifies a state of ultimate liberation and enlightenment. It represents the cessation of suffering and desire, marking the culmination of a spiritual journey. Cobain was drawn to the concept's profound meaning and its connotations of transcendence and freedom from suffering. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's really what it's all about. And freeing yourself of material possessions in your spiritual journey. I think all of us need to be on our spiritual journey. He was obviously on a spiritual journey. The music was the embodiment of that, because, you know, whenever he was doing it musically, he was channeling something. It wasn't just a nice song that you could tap your foot to. He was channeling something. And we can't stress that enough. When you're channeling something, some people are going to be really, really moved, and some people are going to be really, really disturbed. And that's what art does. Art is objective. Subjective. I'm so fucking tired right now. I'm so fucking tired. Now, you know, oh my goodness. When did I got into Nirvana when I was in high school, and, you know, it's like, oh my God, you got to listen to this, but he's dead. Yes, we all know he's dead. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about the elephant in the room and what really happened to him in April of 1994, because I've had so many discussions with everyone about this, and we have all come to the agreement of who is responsible, okay? whom is responsible. And we're not going to go there because today is his birthday and it's about him. Okay. It's about Mr. Kurt Cobain and this musician that is really inescapable. And, you know, born February 20th, 1967 in Aberdeen, Washington, Kurt Donald Cobain, you know, musician, I mean, feminist, according to his good friend, Kathleen Hanna, who inspired the song, well, the title, of course, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And, you know, I've been friends of so many people in my life who, you know, when we talk about Nirvana, when you talk about music, for one, it is such a freeing thing. Even if there's an awkwardness to talk about music and to be able to do that. So, yeah, you know, when all things, you know, hit a rut, what do? You talk about music. That's what you do. You talk about this beautiful thing that we all have and our love for music and certain bands. And when people play me music, I've said this before, that's probably an intimate thing right there. When someone plays you some music, pay attention. Not so much to the music that they're playing, but they're showing you a side of themselves, okay? And on a few occasions, people have done that. They'll show me, oh, they'll play this, or they'll play that. And you don't, I mean, I'm not going to turn around. I was tempted and say, why are you playing this? Is this, are you trying to tell me something right now? Trying to tell me something? Hmm? And, but I remember someone not too long ago, they played me some Nirvana songs. And I thought, oh, these are some of my favorite, you know, to be able to play them and enjoy them. And, yeah. So I thought about that today. And I thought about Nirvana and just, I've always hoped that he found peace. He found peace. I mean, you look at all of the success, what it did, okay? But as I've said before, a few minutes ago, we're not going to talk about his death, because his death really, it's one of those things, it's an open secret that we all talk about. It's like, yeah, things don't add up, okay? Things might add up to some of you, but things don't add up. And there's a lot of conjecture behind it. But the musicianship of this man that we talk about, how inescapable he is. You know, there's Nirvana action figures. There's the shirts. I mean, you know, the smiley face. You turn on the radio and they're playing it on the classic rock stations. Or those who heard it the first time fresh or saw the video. I will say to this day when I listen to the album, it still sounds so good. It has not aged. It still is a part of our cultural zeitgeist of music. You know, it always makes me kind of yawn. Oh, it's such a surprise success of the 90s. Okay. The 90s were 30 years ago, baby. This album came out in 1991. It still sells to this day, okay? It still sells right up there with Metallica's The Black Album and Dark Side of the Moon and all the Neil Young records. And I say that because, you know, they love Neil Young, Nirvana. So, yeah, it's one of those things that is inescapable and, yeah, I wanted to just talk about tonight, and yeah, it's a pretty powerful thing to have listened to the music. So, here's the man himself. We're gonna play a little of him. And hopefully I won't get taken down. I'm going to play a little of the vocals to give you. Here we go. Double tracking, baby. To lose and to pretend she's overborn and self-assured. I know a dirty word. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, hello, hello. With the lights out, it's a stage. Here we are now, entertainers. I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now, entertainers. I'm a lotto, I'm a vino, I'm a skato, my libido, yeah. Hey. So once again, the microphone intervenes. I think I'm playing with a ghost here because they're like, okay, wrap the show up. Just wrap it the fuck up. It's almost midnight. So I'm going to wrap it up. Okay. And it's been, you know, just talking about this and music and movies. And yeah. So something in the way. Good night.